Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where we've been following the sermon of Peter to those in Judea, and we'll be continuing this study with part one of a lesson entitled, The Basics of the Christian Life, as we pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So let's follow along as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So in the second chapter of Acts, where we picked up there with the account of the Spirit of God being poured out on the day of Pentecost. You remember there, the day of Pentecost had fully come, and that was that time of the harvest. And all the Jews were there from all over the world celebrating because it was mandatory that every male Jew over the age of 20 be there for the celebration. And so there were people from all over the world. And it was at that time that the promise of the Father came down upon the disciples, and they were baptized in the Spirit. They were empowered by the Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And this, of course, drew the attention of the people because they heard them praising God in their own languages, knowing that these people were Galileans and couldn't have naturally spoken these other languages. So this really aroused their curiosity, and they said, "What does this mean?" And so Peter took advantage of the opportunity. He stood up and he preached the first gospel message. And as he proclaimed to them Jesus Christ and his death for them and his resurrection, it says that they were pricked in their hearts and they said, "What do we need to do?" And then Peter went on to tell them that they needed to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And so that day, on the day of Pentecost, the day where they were celebrating the harvest, 3,000 souls were added to them that very day. But you know, I'm sure that there were many others that although they did not perhaps respond on that particular day, I'm sure there were many others in that crowd who, after some time, having gone back to their own countries and so forth, they probably thought a lot about what happened on that day of Pentecost. They probably thought a lot about Peter's message. And who knows but what someone else might have come along and followed up on it. And of course, the Spirit of God would be dealing with their hearts. And I would imagine that even though 3,000 responded that day, and that's a tremendous response, I would imagine that out of all the thousands that probably heard the apostle, that there were many others that in a process of time did come to know Jesus as their Messiah as well. And, you know, I say that because a lot of times I think we get discouraged when we're sharing the Lord with people and we're not seeing any immediate result. We're not seeing the fruit of our labors. We're not seeing people come to faith. And sometimes we're tempted to think, well, you know, maybe something's wrong. God doesn't seem to be working or whatever. But we have to realize that the Lord is working in people's lives. And as we just get the word out to them, we trust the Holy Spirit to take his word and to then work on their hearts. And sometimes it's a process of time. When we used to do our street outreach, I never, ever felt any sort of great burden to give an invitation on the streets or to do anything like that. I really felt strongly that we were out there scattering seed. And on those occasions when God would, you know, make it clear that here was a person who was ripe and ready to receive Christ, of course, we wanted to capitalize on that. But the Lord really impressed on our hearts that we were just out there as sowers, as Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower. Behold, a sower went forth to sow seed. And so sometimes that's what we're doing. We're just sowing seed. We're just casting seed out. We're throwing out the word of God, and then we're trusting the Spirit of God to take his word and to prick people's hearts through it. And so I'm sure that many that heard that day the message but didn't respond on that occasion later on did come to the Lord. But that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. So here is the beginning of the age of harvest. And as I mentioned in our last study, we are living in the age of the harvest. The church age is an age of harvest. It's a time of harvest. It's a time of sowing, and it's a time of reaping. And that's what we have been doing for the past 2,000 years, and that's what we're going to keep on doing until the Lord comes back. But there to begin the age of harvest, this great crop of 3,000 souls are added. And now it tells us what they did following the conversion of this large number of people. And in telling us what they did, it really lays out for us a pattern of what church life is to be about. And I think this is really the model. It's, you know, a very basic model, but it's the prototype from which we are to base our church life and experience. And so let's read what it says that they did. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what they did. That was the practice of the first Christians. And those are the fundamentals of what church life are really all about. And you know, it's interesting. We're living in a time when there's a lot of frustration in the churches and people are wondering, you know, how can we impact our world in a greater way? And, you know, people are buying into all kinds of wacky ideas. You know, I think I shared with you a few weeks ago about one of the advertisements I had seen where they had the three beer cans on the front with the bitter church face, and then on the back, the smiling guys with the better church face, and they promised Starbucks and Krispy Kremes and In-N-Out Burger, you know, to get the people over. And then a few weeks later, I was out in that same area, and I came across another advertisement for a church, and this one was a little more biblically oriented because they were emphasizing feasting on the word, but the pastor was on the front with a big plate of food in front of him and making this crazy face as he was, you know, diving into it and all of this appeal to get people to come in. And I remember when I was pastoring down in Vista for years, we would get little things in the mail, you know, the new churches coming into town, and I'll never forget one that we got, and I'll tell you, it was embarrassing the moment I saw it. This poor pastor who had come out from the Midwest, and some of these church growth people got a hold of him, and they, you know, they said, man, we're going to make you relate to the community, and this, you know, this is a beach community, and there's surfers here and all. So they did up an ad where they took this guy from Kansas or somewhere, and they put him in surf gear, and they took a photo of him. But the problem was they had him on a boogie board. And, I mean, immediately, you knew that this was fraudulent. This wasn't, you know, the real deal. And all in an effort to, you know, we're going to relate. We're going to show people we're cool and hip and trendy. And we're going to get the people to come out and know that church isn't boring and all of that sort of thing. And as people are groping in the church world for a way to relate and a way to get people to come to church because they just don't want to come anymore, they're overlooking the biblical pattern and model. They're overlooking the simple, basic, foundational things that God has laid out in his word. But here's the amazing thing. When people take and just do these four things right here, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, guess what? God blesses. He blesses abundantly. That's what's happened here. And that's what's happened all over the country through the ministry of Calvary Chapel and other ministries that have done the same sort of thing, just getting back to the Bible. And so let's look at these things in a little bit more detail. And they continued steadfastly. Let's look at that first of all. They continued steadfastly. It means that these were the things that they were committed to. There was a commitment there. There was devotion. These were things that they basically immersed themselves in. You know, church has become a weird thing over the years. A weird thing in that it's not what it used to be in so many cases. In so many cases, church is, it's a building. It's a building where you go to sit and do your duty of whatever sort it might be. And then when the duty's done, you get up and you head out. But you see, when the church began, it wasn't like that at all. And the church actually originally meant that group of people that were called out from the world. That's the actual meaning of the word church. Those who are called out. It, in the Greek language and in the Greek culture, it referred to any group of people that had set themselves apart from, you know, just sort of the normal thing that was going on in society for whatever reason. But it was a label that was immediately taken up, tagged on to, and taken up by the Christians, because they were, of course, the ones who were really called out. They were living in the world, but they were called to now be separate from the world. And the church was the group of people, the place they met was irrelevant. In this case, originally they were meeting in part of the temple in Jerusalem, but they were also meeting in houses all over Jerusalem. And in the early days of the Christian church, much of the church met in homes and in rented buildings throughout the Roman Empire in different places, school halls and things like that, much like we've gotten back to today. And so they were committed to as a lifestyle. It wasn't, we visit there every Sunday as part of our tradition or part of some sort of religious duty, but it was their lifestyle. It was, this was their thing. This was the thing that they did. And that's what it means when it says they continued steadfastly in it. This was the thing that they all were committed to and the thing that they all looked forward to as often as they possibly could. It was a community situation. So they continued steadfastly, first of all, in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine is what we have here in our New Testament. We have written down for us the apostles' doctrine. They, of course, had the apostles themselves. They were the ones who were teaching them. They were teaching them the things that had not yet been written. They were verbally communicating to them the things that Jesus had taught them, the things the Holy Spirit was revealing to them as they were going on. But they spent much of their time as they would gather together, much of their time was spent contemplating, studying, educating themselves in the apostles' doctrine. They were learning about the Lord. And that is a key to successful Christian living. It's a key to the church being what God wants it to be. We've got to know the Lord. We've got to know Him personally. We get to know Him through His Word. We've got to know about Him so we can tell other people about Him. And they spent their time there in the same kind of thing that we're doing. They spent their time there in Bible study. And we are just following in their footsteps. We're just doing the same thing that they were doing back then. But what are we doing when we come together? We are studying the apostles' doctrine. And through it, we're getting to know the Lord. We're getting to know Him better personally so we can communicate His love and His truth to other people. And that's what the church is to be all about. The church is really to be a learning center. And that's one of the wonderful things about this church. And for so many years, it's been a place of learning. I'll confess to you right now, when I came to this church 20-something years ago, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything. You know, frankly, I didn't care about anything, so I wasn't really, you know, too interested in studying a whole lot of things. You know, growing up here in the surf culture, I cared about the surf report. That was, you know, the tides, the wind. But, you know, there weren't many subjects that I was really interested in as a non-Christian. But I'll tell you, when I got saved and I came into this church and I sat down and I began to listen to Pastor Chuck, all of a sudden I thought, man, I want to know this stuff. I want to know what he's talking about. And as I began to open the Bible and read it, there just developed in me this insatiable appetite to know these things. And thank God that there was a place, and there is a place. And now there are many more places where this kind of thing is going on, where the apostles' doctrine is being taught, and people are able to come and they're able to learn about God. There's so much misinformation out there about God, isn't there? You know, boy, you listen to people talk about God and there is so much confusion. And we have a responsibility to know the Lord, not only for our own benefit, and of course it's going to benefit us tremendously, but we have a responsibility to know the Lord so we can impart a true knowledge of God to other people as well. So we can stand up and say, you know, I know these people say they're serving God, these people that are blowing people up all over the world, but you know what? That isn't really accurate. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you about the true God. Let me tell you about the God of the Bible. Let me tell you about his son, Jesus Christ. And to be able to give an answer to every man for the reason, for the hope that is in us, that's our responsibility as Christians. Sometimes I think Christian people leave that up to the pastors. Oh, that's the pastor job. That's what he gets paid for. He gets paid to study that stuff. You know, I got to go to work and make a living, and I've got to go out and enjoy myself and have my leisure time and all of that. But you know, we're all called to be students of the Word. We're all called to know the Lord through his Word, to know his Word, so we can talk to people and we can tell them the truth about God. And that's what happens when you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The early church was a learning church, and every church ought to be a learning church. Every church ought to be a learning center, learning primarily about the Lord. But you know, I've found that when you start learning about the Lord, you start learning about a lot of other things as well, because he's the God of creation. So inevitably, you start learning a little bit about his creation. He's the God of history, so you start learning a little bit about history. He's the God who created the world, so you get an interest in geography. He's a God who created people, so you get a sociological interest in things like that. And I've found for me that just getting to know the Lord and getting to know his Word has expanded my knowledge in so many different areas, but it's really rooted right back here in the Scriptures. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to give us an understanding of himself and of the things that pertain to him, which are most things. Everything, really, apart from the sinful things in the world. So that's what they did. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and that's what I want to encourage you to be doing yourself on your own, on a daily basis, being in the Word and studying the Word. And isn't it true that we waste so much time on things that are not profitable, things that aren't really helping us to know the Lord better or to help others to know him, or, you know, so much time wasted when we have this precious volume of the Word of God that God has left us to study, to meditate on, to get to know. That's what they were doing. And then it says they continued steadfastly in fellowship. This is the Greek word koinonia. You've probably heard that word before. And it's translated fellowship, but it's also translated a few times communion. It's translated communicate. It's translated partake. And there are a variety of English translations because it's a difficult word to describe with one English word. It means all of those things together. And what it really is describing is a communion that takes place between people, an intimate encounter, A spiritually intimate encounter, not a physically intimate encounter. A spiritually intimate encounter where we are connecting deeply with one another, but our connection is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the world is divided up by all kinds of different things. It's divided up racially. It's divided up, you know, based on social status. It's divided up based upon your economical situation. The world has all kinds of divisions. And people usually come together around the things that they have in common. That's how people connect with each other, because they have something in common. Well, you see, in the church, our common denominator is Jesus Christ. He is what we have in common. He is the common denominator that overrules everything else. You know, before I was a Christian, I really truly only wanted to associate with certain people. Certain people that I thought were worthy of my association. People that liked what I liked, did what I did, related to who I was and my thing. And really, truly, if you were outside of my social group, I had no interest in even knowing you. I just didn't care. I wasn't a very good person. But I think back on that and I think about the contrast from where I used to be and what God has done in my life. But I think about the rich blessing as well, because I think of how limited my life experience would have been had I gone on in that kind of a condition and never met the Lord and never had this broadening of my understanding and this experiencing of people from all different kinds of walks of life that I never ever would have met or cared to meet or have any connection with prior to Christ. But because we have Jesus as the common denominator, the relationship developed, and I think, boy, these are some of the greatest people in the world. And I never would have known them because of my limited, narrow little view that I had about what was cool and what wasn't, and, you know, all of those ridiculous kinds of things. And I say that because of this. When we come into the church of Jesus Christ, all of those things that previously divided us, they're to be set aside. And this is something we do have to guard against in the church, because sometimes you can come into the church and just do the same thing you were doing in the world. You gravitate right toward the same kind of people, and you develop a little clique here and a little group over there. And boy, that's ugly when it's in the church. No, the Lord wants us to be one big family. Doesn't matter what our race, doesn't matter what our socioeconomic background is. It doesn't matter, you know, any of those things. Those aren't the issue. Jesus, he's the common denominator. And so they had come together with Christ Jesus as the center of their lives, and they spent their time fellowshipping with one another. In our day, and a lot of times this does happen, and I'm sure it's happened in previous generations as well, but a lot of times fellowship is reduced to socializing. Now, fellowship definitely has a social aspect to it. There's no question about it. But I think sometimes what happens is we sort of get robbed of real fellowship, and we substitute real fellowship with socializing. And we're all Christians. We get together in the same place and we sit down and watch a football game, or we go out to some sort of an entertainment event together or something like that. And that's okay. We can do that. But as we do that, sometimes we forget to bring Jesus along with us in a very practical sense. We don't really talk about him. We don't really pray. We don't really, you know, connect with one another on the deeper spiritual level. It's all up here just sort of on the social thing. And sometimes in churches, that kind of thing can happen. People come to church and, you know, it's a great place to meet people. It's a good place to connect with people so you can go out to lunch afterwards. And it's all social and there's relationships and so forth. But Christ isn't in the center of the thing. And that's when we're actually missing out on what fellowship is. Because fellowship is primarily about Jesus and us connecting with one another around the person of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that every time we get together, it has to be some deep, you know, somber spiritual encounter. But what I am saying is this. Why not, when we get together, just make sure we're inviting the Lord along? Maybe you're going to use us in some way. So, Lord, we want to just bring you right into everything that we're doing so we don't miss a thing.
We'll continue with more of our study through the Acts of the Apostles in our next lesson as Pastor Brian concludes this portion of our lesson on the basics of the Christian life. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Basics of the Christian Life. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3107. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.